When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC on a Wednesday on which we take on Everton in the Premier League at Goodison Park tonight. Today, however, it looks like Liverpool are careering towards the appointment of a new manager, and that manager looks to be Arne Slot of Feyenoord, which is outside the box for sure, interesting in a lot of ways, exciting in many ways, certainly plays a very attractive brand of football, very similar to De Zerbi in terms of how his team operate in possession, lots of movement, quick interplay, but patience from the back, almost waiting for the opposition to press before triggering into their movement. Off the ball, he's more similar to Marcelo Bielsa in terms of how his team presses, but not as reckless, for sure. His teams do tend to have pretty good balance. Now, part of that is down to the fact that he's been working in a fairly poor league. But at the end of the day, he did win that league with Feyenoord and probably would have won it with AZ Alkmaar in the 1920 season, where they and Ajax were level on points when football was shut down because of COVID, and the Eredivisie decided just to call the league there and not award a league title. It did look at that point like his team were the most likely to go on and win it. But it could have gone either way. It could have been another title for Erik ten Hag. There isn't a great track record of managers winning the Eredivisie and going on to have success elsewhere. That, I suppose, is worth pointing out. If you look back, Louis van Gaal, in the last 30 years, Louis van Gaal won two titles with Ajax, left for Barca, did pretty well there, won a couple of La Liga titles, won a La Liga title with Bayern in the late 2000s, and then obviously won a league title with AZ Alkmaar after that, but did come to England and fail with Manchester United. Dick Advocaat won a couple of titles with PSV, but won at least. He did pretty well with Rangers, but not so much anywhere else. You have Feyenoord winning it in 98-99 under Leo Beenhakker. He didn't have a whole lot of success after winning that, but he had success prior to that, winning three straight league titles with Real Madrid. Beyond them, Gus Hiddink won, I think, two or three. He's one of the more overrated managers in history. Never really done much outside of the Eredivisie. Obviously has had great success with Eredivisie teams, notably in the 80s. Ronald Koeman won three titles, two with Ajax, one with PSV, and has obviously failed wherever he's gone outside of there. Barcelona, Valencia, Benfica, Southampton, he wasn't great. Everton obviously was a failure. So that's not ideal. You've got Steve McLaren won the title with 20, which was a good achievement, to be fair, but again, didn't do anything elsewhere. Frank de Boer, rather, won 4 league titles with Ajax, failed at Inter, failed at Palace, failed at Atlanta, and failed at the national team. Philippe Cocu won 3, failed at Derby. Gio van Bronckhorst won it with Feyenoord, failed at Rangers. And then Ten Hag won 3, and obviously he's failing at United. Slot won it, and Peter Bosz is going to win it this year, and obviously he's already failed at Dortmund and at Lyon. So just not a great track record of Dutch managers, specifically Eredivisie managers, having much success outside of their homeland. And frankly, other than Louis van Gaal, there hasn't really been a great Dutch manager since the early days of Hiddink. But even he became more of a mercenary late on, and more of a, you know, any paycheck will do. Did have, to his credit, did have good success with PSV in the 80s, won a European Cup with them. But since then, not a whole lot, other than the titles he won when he went back to PSV. Van Gaal and him won European Cups with Dutch teams and didn't win one with anyone else. It's a bit of a worry. But again, look, Arne Slot might be the one to buck the trend. He might be the one to change things. It is a gamble, but anybody coming in to replace Jurgen was going to be a gamble. That's just the manner of it. He's a bigger gamble, I think, than some others. But if it is to be him, and look, it again might not be, but as things stand, he seems to be the one that they're focused on. If it is to be him, then we'll have to get behind him. But he's just got to hope he can come in and hit the ground running, because there's no real time for settling in. Not at this club. You've not with what you're taking over. You've got to hit the ground running. He does inherit a very good squad that should suit the 4-2-3-1 that he likes to play. If you look at how he uses his players, Gertrude is his right back. I've seen some people suggest he inverts him into midfield a lot. He doesn't. He inverts him into a back three, slightly advanced of the other two, almost in that like defensive half space, and plays him from there. And it just gives him an extra man. So he could do that with Trent for sure. His left back, he wants playing high and wide and overlapping nonstop, similar to what Robbo would have done in his prime. That's an area we'll need to address this summer. So Milos Kerkez would make a lot of sense. He was someone that when Slot was at Alkmaar, he tried to sign him for Alkmaar, didn't get him. He went to Milan instead. And then Alkmaar signed him the following year. And obviously he's since moved on to Bournemouth, where he's had a decent first season in the Premier League. But I could see him being someone that we target. Virgil and Ibu will be fine. You'd like maybe to bring in a centre-back just because of Ibu's injuries. But we will have Gomez, we will have Quansah. And if we're playing a back, like a flat back four, or just a back four, Virgil, Ibu, Gomez, Quansah, and maybe Sepp Vandenberg stays and doesn't join Mainz if they don't take up their option, that five would probably be enough to go for a season. Trent right back, new left back. We'll need one in midfield. We need one in midfield anyway. Alan Varela would fit perfectly into a Arne Slot midfield, along with Alexis. Those two as a double pivot, I think, would be pretty close to perfect. I've seen a lot of people mention Mats Wiefer. Good player, without question. We can do better. There's a capability of us doing better than that. And that's what we should aim to do. But if it is V for him, he's a good player. He's better than what we have now. It's just that, again, we could do better. I think he's going to want two new wingers. Frankly, none of our left wingers are good enough or consistent enough. And Mo just isn't a good fit as a winger. Now, he could fit as the 10 in the Calvin Stengs role. But I'm not sure I see Michael Edwards giving him a new contract. Given his age, given the wages, I think Edwards, being the way he is, will probably look to sell Mo and get as much as he can. And that could potentially fund two players to come in. Assuming Mo leaves, Dominic as the 10 is the natural fit. Olise right wing, Kudus left wing could be really good. Olise definitely has a buyout clause. I'm fairly certain Mohamed Kudus does as well. The reason his move to Brighton fell apart is because Brighton wouldn't give in to a release clause. But I reckon West Ham might have done. If you get the pair of them for around the 120 million mark, and maybe Mo covers most, if not all of that, and his wages would cover both of their wages, that could be really smart. And then Darwin up front is a wild card because he's not as refined as what Slot has used with Santiago Jimenez. But he does offer a lot of everything. He just needs to sort himself out in front of goal. But that could be a really fun team. That could be a really fun team. Alisson, Trent, Ibu, Virgil, Kerkez, Varela, McAllister, Olise, Szoboszlai, Kudus, and then Darwin up front. Could be a really good team. That's a team that could win the league. That is a team that could win the league. I know people will say Michael Olise is injury prone. No, he's not. He just isn't. This is his fifth season as a pro. It's the first season he's had any injury problems. He got injured in the summer playing at the under-21 Euros, having played 40 games for Palace last year, 37 in the league. He got injured in the summer. He came back, Hodgson overplayed him, and he re-injured himself. But he's been spectacular this year when he has played. 7 goals in 14 games, incredibly creative. I think he'd be phenomenal in our team, especially in a 4-2-3-1. So, say 120 for him and Kudus, another 50 for Varela, 35 for Kerkez, and maybe 15 for Anthony Patterson's about 200 million of a spend. Mo should bring in 100, 110. I think Luis Diaz goes, that's another 60 perhaps, so that's 160 to 170. One of the existing left backs, I assume, goes. I think it will be Robbo because he's out of contract in 12 months and he's 30. So say 20 for him, that's 180 to 190. And then Quevin Callagher will easily bring in 20 to 25. So it's not, you'd still need a, well, you have the backup goalkeeper in Patterson. Yeah, it's easily doable without spending a huge amount in terms of net spend. It is easily doable. Even if Kudus costs more, like, there's still going to be a budget there to spend. And Mo will bring $100 million from the Saudis. They will pay $100 million for Mo. Look what they paid for Neymar last year. Neymar had 1 year left in his contract, same age as Mo, not as good as Mo, and doesn't have that Arab factor that Mo has to go to Saudi. Doesn't have the draw to the Muslim community. So I see no reason they wouldn't pay $100 million for Mo, which would go an awful long way towards funding our rebuild, you know? And then it's a system and a shape that fits a lot of our players. Elliot would work well as a backup to Olise. Gakpo as a backup to Dominic. Might need another winger, maybe, just for depth. Jota as the backup to Darwin. I think If it wasn't for the fact that we already have a fair bit to do, he might be one to go because of the injuries. Curtis, Endo, Bacetic, Gravenberch for the midfield double pivot. Again, Gravenberch doesn't really fit a double pivot, which is part of the reason why he hasn't really worked out anywhere in the last few years. Costas or Robbo, whoever stays at left back. Centre back should be okay. Bradley at right back. Like, it's a pretty strong squad. That's pretty doable as well. Like, it is doable to turn the squad over in the right ways, refresh it and get it to a point where you're looking at the likes of Mohamed Kudus and Michael Olise and thinking, right, we've got them for the next 7-8 years at a really, really high level. We've got Dominic for a long time at a really high level. Varela for a long time at a really high level. Virgil still got, you know, 3-4 years left at a high level. The same for Alisson. And those two in particular are why it has to be win now. We can't afford to be wasting any more years of their careers. We wasted a year last year. We wasted a year in 2021. We just can't afford to do that anymore. These lads deserve a lot better. And fingers crossed, that's what comes in the next few years. This is Anfield has lots of pieces on Arnie Slot, as does Liverpool.com. Let me check out Anfield Watch because I haven't actually looked at it yet. There is an interesting piece actually on Liverpool.com about one of Slot's assistants who currently works with the Dutch national team and Virgil has spoken quite highly about. Remarkable Ruben Amorim U-turn set to be announced this weekend. What is this? Ryan Gravenberch makes transfer decision amid Galatasaray links. Ryan Gravenberch is ready to reject a transfer away. Well, we'll see what happens, but he shouldn't get too comfortable. Certainly hasn't earned another season. If he gets one, it's a favour to him. Ruben Amorim was at one stage the firm favourite to take over. Contract till 2026. In a stunning twist, it has now emerged that Amorim is planning to stay with Sporting. Interesting. I'm not sure where that's emerged from, because he was certainly planning to join us. But if it does, this piece doesn't source or doesn't link to anything that suggests that he might stay where he is, but maybe he will. On AnfieldIndex.com, there are multiple pieces on Arnie Slot. There is a piece on the Fulham game. There is a piece ahead of tonight's game where Dave Davis has said that Everton would shake hands on a draw right now, which they 100% would. Podcast-wise, there is a Pro Plus where Dave is joined by Patrick, who's a subscriber, a member of the Discord. Patrick Copite, I think he is on Twitter. That's certainly his name on Discord. Do give that a listen. Patrick's very, very good. And there is a new Scouted, there is a new Under Pressure, and there is the Press Conference Pod, which covers the Everton Pod, obviously. And that's it, folks. That's all I have for today. Hopefully, it's a cheerful Raw discussing a win over the Blues tonight. But we can only keep our fingers crossed. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.